Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to today's episode of Everyday Truth on location here in Lancaster, not Lancaster, that's the California one, but Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And appreciate you joining us. We're in Romans chapter 14, and I ended yesterday with a verse. Let me read it again. It's in, let me see here, verse number 14, where Paul says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. So the Apostle Paul had confidence in his stand as a strong believer, in his liberty to be able to partake of meat that previously as a Jew he had never eaten. And just think about that, because the Apostle Paul practiced Judaism to the most fastidious degree. Remember, he testified in Philippians chapter 3, his testimony. And he said, I mean, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was more separated than anybody. But when God liberated the Apostle Paul in his thinking, and he was able to practice the liberty of eating, I wonder what it was like the first time the Apostle Paul had bacon or ham. I'd love to have seen his face when he was able to eat these things, which he previously had not been able to eat. And Paul here says with confidence, I know, and I have been persuaded by the Lord Jesus. And the idea of being persuaded was I needed ample evidence and confirmation to come to this point. And that's the way it works in our Christian growth. We need ample evidence and scriptural confirmation to be able to come to a place of strength, so that we can, with good conscience, do the things that previously perhaps we thought were wrong. And I love the testimony of the Apostle Paul here in verse 14. He goes on to say, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So regardless of the intrinsic cleanness or uncleanness of anything, if I believe it's unclean and partake in it, even if it intrinsically it's clean, then it's unclean to me because I have violated my conscience. We talked about that at the end of last episode. Now, look at verse number 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat. So think about that. To whom is the Apostle Paul talking when he says that? If your brother's grieved with your meat, with your eating of meat. So he's speaking to the strong one. He's speaking to people like him who understand that meat intrinsically is not wrong and they partake of it. But if I partake of something that in and of itself is not wrong, but I do so with a cavalier attitude about how this will affect, how this practice, how this celebration of my liberty will affect other believers, then there's a whole different issue going on. And that's where we're going here in verse number 15. So if thy brother be grieved with thy meat. So he's speaking to fellow strong believers here. Look at verse number 15 again. Now, under that condition, walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So what is the apostle helping us to understand? He's helping us to understand that there's something more important in life than you and I celebrating our liberty. Just because something is not wrong to do doesn't mean I should do it. And a major consideration in what I allow myself to do and where I allow myself to do it and with whom I do that activity has to do with how will this impact the spiritual edification of my Christian brother. So I do the things I do to please God and to help people. Does that sound vaguely familiar? To please God and to serve people. Everything I do. So sometimes what I do is I limit my liberty things that are okay for me to do, permissible, and even by my conscience, I know there's nothing biblically wrong with it, but I choose not to do it when I'm with these people because I don't want to cause them to offend. I don't want them to be emboldened by my strong conscience to do something in a weak conscience just because I do it. And then I am part and parcel to getting them to violate their weak conscience, and thereby I'm causing them to sin. So there's so much more at play than just, is it wrong? Is it right? Now, sometimes something that's right to do is wrong to do in that scenario at that moment. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 5, where he gives us really three ways to approach what we have in Christ. Number one, we can approach our salvation through the lens of liberty. Like, wow, I am free now. I have freedom to eat this. I have freedom not to be restrained by this holy day. And I'm going to live in my freedom. I'm going to celebrate my liberty. Or I can say, I have a weak conscience, and I am going to apply all of that pre-salvation baggage to my salvation and make everything a list of do's and don'ts. And so I'm going to be a legalist. I'm going to assume that what I do and how I behave somehow curries favor with God. And of course, that would be a weak way as well. So what's the median or medium? What's the balance? That would be a better way to say it. What's the balance between the unrestricted celebration of liberty or even license to that degree, or the weak and shallow method of legalism? What is the balance? Well, the balance is love. So, but by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the point is that we need to be focused upon honoring God by serving other people. And that's the exact point that Paul makes here in Romans 14. It's the point, extended point he makes in 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 10. It's the point that he made in the passage I just quoted, Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 16, where it says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. So this might be something you celebrate that's good, but because you're celebrating it in to the exclusion of thinking about your brother's edification, it can be evil spoken of. So we have to be wise. As we enter into community with other believers, as we get together with other believers, strong believers need to be aware of what the hang-ups are of weak believers. Now, that doesn't mean that we should be held hostage by what weak brethren think. I can never sing that song because that weak brother might get offended. The passage is not teaching that we should never do things that offend other people, like they get upset with us or judge us. That's not the point. The point is, I shouldn't do anything that causes my weaker brother to offend. And that's the point, to offend. In other words, that he would engage in a behavior just because I do it. Just because I do it, now he's going to do it. I don't want to embolden somebody against their conscience to sin against the Lord. So when I come into community, I have to be careful sometimes to limit my liberty for the sake of that person's edification. Verse number 17, Paul gives us the foundational principle for all of this, for the kingdom of God. So when you got saved, you became a citizen of God's kingdom. Yes, you might be a United States citizen or an Aussie citizen or a Canadian citizen or wherever you live, for sure. But our citizenship is really not in this world, is it? We are citizens of another kingdom. So what are the kingdom rules there? Well, that's what Paul talks about. The kingdom of God is, verse number 17, it's not meat and drink. It's not about what I can do or cannot do. But it's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, there's something far more important going on at foundational levels, and that is righteousness. That I am fertilizing among my fellow man in my local assembly a spirit of doing what's right, honoring God, joy, peace. I'm not being a burr in somebody's saddle. I'm not fomenting discord by stubbornly standing for what I know is right. No, I have a spirit of submission. I have a spirit of collaboration. I have a spirit of teaching and patience and nurturing. Why? Because it's not about the liberty that I can engage in. It's about the love that I should express to God and to others. Verse number 18, for he that in these things, righteousness, joy, and peace, he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Boy, that is a sweet spot in church where strong Christians are aware of and gentle with weaker brethren that have some hang-ups. They're patient to teach them. They are patient to wait for them to understand certain things. They deal with some of their arguments. They deal with some of their some of the ways that we become accused. You know, just honoring the Word of God by loving and being patient with others. We've quoted the verse before: the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing. That's an important concept to remember. Quickly, for sake of time, verse number 19. So here's the conclusion. So based upon all these principles, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So ask yourself this filtering question. Is what I'm doing, is what I'm celebrating in this group of people, this Bible study, this church service, this body of believers, this community, is what I'm doing helping people, building them up? Or am I just a lone vigilante saying, well, you know, I really don't care what you think about what I wear, what I watch, what I listen to. I know it's fine for me, and I'm just going to flout it in front of you. That's not a spirit of unity, and it's certainly not the spirit of Christ. Look at verse number 20, for meat, destroy not the work of God. Don't make the issue of contention what you can celebrate in your liberty. If you want to have that, if that steak offends somebody, whatever that steak is, for modern day Baptists, that's my little world, it's things like, you know, that kind of music or that particular article of clothing, or that church doesn't have a Sunday night service, or I can't believe they put screens in, or they darken the lights during the preaching and the lights only on the platform, and just all kinds of dumb things we argue about. And so the Bible says, for that preference, don't destroy the work of God. All things indeed are pure. These aren't biblical issues, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. If all I'm doing is trying to say, I am going to push forward with my preference, regardless of how it affects you, then that is not a biblical attitude. I'm going to go ahead and read the last three verses because I think we'll just finish this today. So the Bible says, it's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. So again, that's another way of just saying, think through how your behavior affects other people. Verse number 22, hast thou faith? You say, but wait a minute, I know there's nothing wrong with this. Okay, great. Do you have faith? Do you have confidence in the Lord that this is okay? Then watch what he says. Then have it to thyself before God. Happy is that man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And so it might be that style of music that really ministers to you and helps you worship God. And you know that if you did that at church, it might cause a problem and offend this person. Then don't do it. But listen to it in your car or at your smaller Bible study with people that are strong in the faith like you. That's the point. The point is be aware of the effect this has on other believers. And then lastly, verse number 23, and he that doubteth. So the strong Christian is the one that I understand. This is okay. I can celebrate this. But what about the one that doubts? I don't know if this is right or wrong. I think it might be okay because somebody, so-and-so does it and I respect him, but I struggle. Listen, if you're struggling with doubt about a particular behavior or standard or preference, your meat issue, then watch what the Bible says to you. He that doubteth is damned, condemned, not condemned to hell, but it would be a sin if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. At the end of the day, we need to be doing what we're doing with confidence, belief, trust that what I'm doing is right and honoring to God. And the more you grow in Scripture, the more you'll grow in what those things are. Until then, be careful, because we want to honor God and serve people. Thank you, my friends, for joining today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.